Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Luke and chapter 10. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And over to Stephanie.
Well, good morning, everyone. And in case you're wondering, I'm definitely more of a Mary. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts bless your name. Amen. So Andrew's already mentioned this is quite a familiar Bible story, one that most of us will have heard before. And for me, growing up, this was one of my favourites, though possibly not for quite the right reasons. So I, as I said, bit of a Mary. I have a very excellent, hardworking, overachieving, super organised type A kind of big sister who was always trying to get me to do more work than I wanted to do and to do the household chores that I was supposed to instead of sitting around reading or watching TV. So I loved this story because in it Jesus very clearly says that it's better to sit down and do nothing than to run around doing household chores. I'm right, she's wrong, I win. Problem solved. Obviously, as an adult with slightly more detailed biblical understanding, a little bit more maturity, and an awareness that chores do need to get done, I still love this passage, this reading, but I think the message here isn't quite as simple as I thought it was. So this isn't just a contrast between inaction and action. And sadly, for all of the Marys out there, Jesus isn't giving us a free pass to ignore things that need to be done. He doesn't actually praise Mary for sitting and doing nothing. So let's unpack a little bit what is going on in this reading. We know from elsewhere in the Gospels, as Lee has already mentioned, that Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus lived in Bethany. Jesus arrives in Bethany and is welcomed into Martha's home, a first century Jewish home, which would have been divided into clearly defined spaces. There would be a public room where men would meet and talk together, and there would be a kitchen and other private spaces which were the domain of the women. And there are still cultures with this clear separation today. I spent a year a long time ago living in the Gambia in West Africa, and this was very much the case. The men would gather in one space to talk, and the women would gather in a separate space to cook, to clean, but also to share stories and socialise while completing these tasks. I imagine it's similar in Malawi, where Susie has just returned from, and in many other places around the world. So for Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, placing herself with the men in a specifically male space, wasn't taking the easy option. This wasn't just about laziness or avoiding the chores. It was a significant and deliberately countercultural choice. Unsurprisingly, I think it's great that Jesus affirms Mary's choice here, challenging the boundaries and gender roles of his time, and allowing her to take up space in a male-dominated arena. But I'm not going to go too far down the feminist theology rabbit hole. What I want to point out is that the choice that Mary makes is countercultural. She chose to sit at the feet of Jesus, even when her culture told her that that wasn't possible. Now, I'm really glad that I grew up in a culture that didn't put a barrier between me and Jesus just because of my gender. But that doesn't mean that sitting at the feet of Jesus is an easy choice for us today. Our culture puts other barriers up, and I think one of these is that busyness. Alison mentioned last week, this idea that sometimes we wear busyness as a badge of honour, and that's something I definitely relate to, and I imagine many of you do too. Our culture tells us that being busy is the key to success. It tells us that we don't have time to rest, and we don't have time to spend with Jesus. It tells us that it just isn't possible to sit at his feet and listen, because we have to work, and we have to do the chores, and we have to keep up with the latest TV, and listen to that excellent podcast that our colleague recommended, and get to the gym, and meal prep for the week, and do 100 other things in order to be in control. And none of those things are wrong, just as the things that Martha was doing weren't wrong. But they are distractions from the most important thing. Jesus describes Martha as worried and distracted by many things, when there is need only of one thing. In the Sermon on the Mount, another very familiar passage in Matthew 6, Jesus tells his disciples not to worry about life, about what to eat or drink or wear. He tells them rather to strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. And this is his message to Martha here, and to us. Our lives are full of opportunities to worry and be distracted, but the thing that matters most is the kingdom of God, and that is found in Jesus the King. We live in a culture that encourages us to be worried and distracted by many things, as Martha was. So this morning I encourage you and myself to make the significant and distinctly countercultural decision, like Mary, to make time and space to sit at the feet of Jesus instead. So what does it mean to sit at the feet of Jesus? Well, at the time of the Gospels, this phrase would have been a familiar one, used for the students of a rabbi or a teacher. In Acts 22, we learn that Paul sat at the feet of someone called Gamaliel. Now, that doesn't mean that he gazed up adoringly at him in the posture of a devoted puppy or a lovesick fan. What it means is that he studied under Gamaliel, learning from him. And that's what Mary is doing in our reading today. She's sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him. That's not inaction. It's not about doing nothing. It's about listening to and learning from Jesus. And in fact, to sit at the feet of a rabbi was what you did if you wanted to become a rabbi yourself. It's a phrase that suggests an active learning, a seeking, with the purpose of putting into action what is learnt and of sharing this with others in turn. So not only is Mary's decision countercultural, but it isn't a choice to do nothing, but a choice of active learning. She's seeking the knowledge and wisdom of Christ, which she knows will change her and require her to take further action. Last week, Alison shared with us the biblical understanding of Sabbath, a day of rest and worship, drawing our attention to the teaching of Jesus that the Sabbath is not a burden, but a gift from God to humanity. This pattern of regular rest and worship is built into the world because that is how we as humans flourish. And today I want to focus on the second part of that Sabbath purpose, worship. The Sabbath is absolutely about rest, but it isn't about totally switching off or zoning out. It's not an inactive or a mindless rest. It's not binge-watching TV because you can't quite face moving, or engaging in the increasingly popular self-care trend of